This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
How good a preacher you are.
That's right.
You're on the air, gentlemen.
Well, you know, what we can do, we can go by and go visit Pastor Dave when he's preaching on Sunday, and then after that, we can go up to Archie's.
Yes. So,
if you'll come by on Stewardship Sunday, the sermons will be particularly focused on money, income stuff, you know.
Very good. Do we know which Sunday that is?
I always spring it on people, so
they
never really know.
So you got to go every Sunday, Joe.
See, they're sneaky that way.
Yeah.
They're sneaky that way.
I've been doing this for over 30 years, Joe.
So you should have learned to be sneaky by now, right?
Can I give our number right up front? 888-221-8990 is the number to call.
I'm impressed.
I just remember
where's
that.
Where's our public service announcement?
Well, we're gonna repeat it again, though, because that was pretty quick. So we want to
do that again. One more time. Just for
crew, cast, students, pupils, pay attention now. This is important. You're supposed to have this phone number written down next to your phone, unless you're in the car. Then don't worry about writing it down. Right. Just don't even listen to me. But you write.
Well, don't listen, but don't write.
1-888-221-8990 888-221-8990 and that is toll free from any place, including the Bahamas, which I will be in on Saturday.
Wow!
Oh, you lucky dog!
I am for 2 weeks. The boat starts to leave Saturday morning, so I'll have to check in and pick on you a little bit, Dave. And
please do. You know, I'll be here
from the Bahamas. You know, because I was listening to the show last year. In the Bahamas, 100-some-odd miles away.
Wow.
And it came in clear as a bell.
So there's nothing between here and there but water.
I mean, a lot of water.
Could it not?
Yeah. Every once in a while there's a tree. But, you know, they're over there.
The ocean is a tree.
So this is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech. Joe Martech's a financial advisor, also called a securities principal, called a stockbroker. You know, I think it was last week, maybe Alan, you might remember, or Vince, somebody asked, you know, what do you have to do to be a financial advisor? You have to do nothing. I mean, literally, I don't necessarily like that label because it's one that has no absolute credentials. Now, if you're a securities rep, that means you're licensed to do stocks and bonds and mutual funds and things like that. If you're a securities principal, which I am, that's an extra step in the licensing project.
So it's not like the difference between an accountant and a CPA.
Kind of like anybody can be an accountant, right?
That's right. I mean, well, you go to school and you don't even have to go to school.
Yeah. Right?
You could learn it. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and you could read books and you can be an accountant.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to pick on the instant taxpayer people that learn to pay due taxes in 10 minutes by going through the quick course for some of these services.
Mm-hmm.
But they can do a basic tax return.
I'm not even talking about taxes. I'm talking about accountants.
Accounting, yeah.
Well, every corporation needs accountants. Every company needs an accountant. But not just outside, but inside too, most times.
But I understand that in Wisconsin, to become an attorney, you don't even have to take a test.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I know about that because I never took the bar exam in Wisconsin. You didn't have to. The Supreme Court of Wisconsin said that if you graduate the University of Wisconsin Law School or Marquette University Law School, your training just from attending and graduating those two law schools was sufficient to practice in Wisconsin.
Now, I want to tell you, too, you know, Alan Love, even though he's a darling man, is not that good looking. So he didn't get by on his looks. He had to pass a lot of tests.
That's true.
That's true.
But
he was thinking
about that, trying to find his way out of there. But what we do have is Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, is a guest, and he's an often guest on here, and we like having Alan in. He throws a little bit of an extra wrinkle in the show once in a while, which is good. Team Martech started doing radio shows, give or take, around 2004, and the concept was very simple. Being a financial advisor, stockbroker, securities principal, etc., my job was to help people make money. On the other hand, there's no way in the world that any one person can handle all of the questions that might come up, so we needed other, quote, professionals in order to do the right thing for my client. Vince Rosino, CPA, not only a certified public accountant, which is a college education, he was also a college professor in the greater state of New York. And I'm not even going to get throwing the next line.
He wasn't from Columbia.
I wasn't even going to say that. And he also, he also.
The next best thing.
Was a
University of New York.
Forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness, which is not the easiest thing to do. Any of you that read these John Grisham novels or any novels to that thing and understand the legal system, forensics, it takes quite a bit of time and credentials in order to become get these qualifications. CPA, then Greg Fasula, attorney. He and Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and I started doing the shows as the original three. The attorney became critical because one of the first things I do when I talk to a new suspect or prospect is about a will and or a trust and try to put the cart and the horse in a proper order, meaning have you done your estate planning? If you have not, if Dan was sitting here, his favorite line is, well, if you haven't, the state's got it all figured out for you and your family's not going to like it. Because it's going to take some time. In fact, Greg was on the show today earlier. Alan was there. We did the morning show at 11 o'clock. And the thing that we were talking about that I love to talk about is probate, where attorneys make a lot of money. And how can you avoid probate? Well, one of the easiest ways is to have a trust. Why do you want to avoid probate? Well, the probate period under normal circumstances is about 6 months. That means you die before your family can collect on your inheritance. It's probably a 6 month period, and it can go on for years and years and years if it's contested. However, if you have a trust, very often that period can be cut down to weeks rather than months or years, and the cost to handle a trust is insignificant, meaning you normally don't even need an attorney, but most people do hire one, but they're going to pay them for 2, 3, or 4, or 5 hours rather than for thousands of dollars to do a probate period, depending on the size of the estate. So the attorney became a critical part, somebody that was user-friendly, that could sit down and talk to clients and not intimidate them, but on the other hand, knew his stuff, had credibility, and most importantly, the word integrity. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Alan was toting Dan's horn today because Alan went into Dan's office and they cut his car insurance down by 38%. Now, he's all impressed. We're used to it. I mean, we hear it constantly. We've had people call in and say, that funny looking old guy came out, was taking pictures of my horse ranch, but he saved me $2,000. And Dan had one particular homeowner who had a very expensive home that he think he saved $8,000 one year on just his homeowner's insurance. So wow. Dan can do the job for people. Because he's 38 years in business and he's got, and in my not too humble opinion, he is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. And he can go any place in the state of Florida. He's got clients all over, but his office is in Port St. Lucie. Then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who I've only known since 1980, who in my not too humble opinion, again, is probably the hardest working person that I know, except for Vince and tax season. Nobody can.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah. Unsolicited. Look at that.
Yeah, nobody can work harder in tax season except you. You don't get to sleep.
Just slip right out there. I'm impressed.
Vic is one of those. She's only got two speeds. She's either working or sleeping, I swear. You know, she's just one of those. If she says, I'll call you at 3 a.m, count on it. I mean, she's going to do it. She has been in Europe making phone calls to people over here. Sometimes she forgot what the time difference was and she woke up a few people, but the bottom line, she said she was gonna call them. And then Mike Paulus, who, by the way, is in Italy, you know.
He's still there?
Yeah, he's supposed to be coming back pretty quick. And Norma, if you're listening, please call in again and give us your phone number, because I did give it to Mike. I don't have it. Mike is in Europe. He's supposed to call you when he gets back. He's supposed to call you before he left, but I'm going to remind him, but I can't find your phone number. I gave it to Mike. So, Norma, if you're listening, call us again and give us your phone number. So, as a group, our mission here is to educate people, is to inform them so they can make more intelligent decisions. We're here to help people, and we've been very blessed that we've been able to help an awful lot of people, and in areas that aren't necessarily 100% our bailiwick. What happens is, when we take our combined amount of experience, we have over 200 years of actual experience with people among our group. And it didn't happen overnight. Putting together this group didn't happen overnight. It took many years. The other side of the coin, too, when I started putting the group together, I didn't want people to work under me or for me. I didn't want to share any commissions or fees. I felt the best people don't do that. The best people are independent, work on their own, and they may have worked for somebody at one time or another and didn't necessarily like that concept. So the best people end up on their own. And I honestly feel very comfortable with how we've been able to assemble a superior group of credible, high integrity, local professionals who all hope to die here, but not necessarily soon. Let me go to the Bahamas first, you know, for my 2 weeks.
Take your time.
Take my time.
Yeah.
One more favor now. Those that have listened to the show the last couple of weeks know my son is not been having a good time. He's been in a hospital now. Those of you that don't know, my son Michael fell out of a tree when he was 17, broke his back. He's been in a wheelchair his whole life. He's now a full-grown adult for many, many, many years. But last year he had multiple surgeries and was in a tremendous amount of pain. And as a side effect, he popped way too many pain pills, and he destroyed his stomach. So he went in the hospital about a month ago with his blood pressure 50 over 20, which means he was 20 minutes away from dying. They pumped him full of blood for a couple of days. They operated on him and took out a third of his stomach. And when I first announced this on WCNO a couple of weeks ago, he had given up. He had given up.
Yeah.
He was ready to leave. And I begged for prayers, and we had a lot of people praying, and thank you, thank you, thank you. But he was doing pretty good until a couple of days ago, and now he's got infections. And, you know, infections in hospitals happen, and it's never a good thing. So I'm asking for continuous prayers, continuation of prayers. Hey, it's my son, and, you know, it's hard on any parent when you have a child that's going through a most agonizing, and it's been no food for a month. He's on one tube after another in his body. Tubes taking in, putting out. Nothing's going into his stomach. And then it's a really, really rough time. And his attitude, for the most part, has been pretty good. But his last couple of days have been rough. So I'm asking for a favor or three. If I can get a few prayers out there. I have lived through the power of prayer. I've seen the power of prayer. Have had an unbelievable two experiences with the power of prayer. And so I'm 100% believer in it. 1-888-221-8990. So now
you were talking about Dan Warren saving me money, but really more important than the money is people in the service industry, as far as attorneys or CPAs or financial planners. They're a dime a dozen who say, we want to help you. But really, their bottom line and their focus is more, how can I make money? Well, in the case of Team Martech, and I now am one of the people that can testify personally, their most important thing is helping people. If they can save you money, great, but it's helping people that drives Joe Martech, that drives Vince, that drives Dan, that drives Greg, and that to me is why these shows are so important, because the bottom line is helping others. And you're going to help a young man very soon, aren't you, Joe?
Well, you know what happened is I had this gorgeous young woman came in to visit me yesterday, married woman with two children, a very, very strong Christian. She has three children, two grown daughters, and one 12-year-old son. And that 12-year-old son gets in the car, and mom listens to WCNO, and this 12-year-old kid says, "Hey, mom, come on, let's put on the tunes and the rock and roll. Zachary, I want you to know that I'm watching you, and I want you to know your mother has eyes in the back of her head, so you can't get away with anything, Zachary, and I'm going to let the school know that Joe Martek is watching you. So, Zachary, keep your eyes and ears open, my man. Listen to Christian radio because we're going to teach you some things. And the first thing we're going to teach you is careful of mom."
He's going to be scared, this kid.
And now, well, hey, that was the plan. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. So, yeah, and you know, Alan, thank you for that. But the truth is, we are a blessed group. And one of the things that was most important to me when we started to assemble this group was the word integrity. You know, I don't know, Vince, how you know how we were raised. Mm-hmm. I raised my kids this way. There was nothing worse than lying, period. And if you're going to become a true professional, that word is monstrous. You know, and I was talking to somebody the other day in another one of my peer group. One, even when boys do locker room talk, professionals, it doesn't come out of us easily. Secondly, you're going to have a hard time getting a credible professional to lie. We just don't do that. We get in such a habit of doing the right thing for people. And I am in exact awe of good professionals that get past, I think, what Alan was saying, making a living, and they understand that what goes around comes around. If you do the right thing for people, it'll come back to you.
Well, as Tom says on WCNO, and we do prayer and praise together, if you do what God intended, you will benefit from that bounty. God will provide. And that's what you're doing. If you do what's intended under under God, which is integrity, which is ethics, which is caring about people and listening to them, trying to meet their needs with your best advice,
yep,
then they will prosper and you will prosper.
You know, I think what I talk about, some people say, well, gee, you know, must be a good salesman. You talk a lot. And I said, well, you know, to me, a good salesman is a good listener. They learn what somebody wants, and once they learn, then they see if they can fill that desire. But let me take a phone call in the meantime. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. I was just listening to your broadcast, and I was wondering if you can answer a question for me regarding probate.
Absolutely.
I have one son, and I don't have much. I just have my house and a little bit of finances. But I was wondering if a quick deed is better than a trust, or would it act the same way as a trust would?
Are you planning on dying soon?
No, but I am approaching my 60th birthday.
Okay. Listen, I remember that. It's way back in history someplace for me, but we got somebody here this
morning. I just want to get my stuff in order, you know, just in case. I mean,
now let me ask you a couple questions. You have one son?
I have one son with my husband, but my husband was previously married before.
Okay,
and he had four children.
Okay, you're married. You're married now?
No, I'm widowed now.
Okay. Now, your house, is it in your name?
Yes.
Only?
Only.
Okay. And is it your homestead, meaning you live there and have you filed it as a homestead in the state of Florida?
Yes.
Okay. There is no probate on a homestead.
Okay.
You write a will, and the will says it goes to my son, and it does not have to go through the courts. It has a transfer from a, let's say, paperwork type of thing that just takes a very few days, but it's not probate. It doesn't go through the six-month period of transferring the assets. So understand this, your homestead is not subject to probate, okay?
Okay.
Next, you have a bank account. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Small one.
I don't care if it's big or small. What you do the next time you're in the bank, you say to your bank, do you have a TOD, transfer on death, agreement on my bank account? Now, remember those TOD, transfer on death, on my bank account. So whether it's a savings account, a checking account, a CD, whatever it might be, if you have that TOD agreement, that now eliminates probate again. So now when you died, whoever is named in that TOD agreement, all they have to do is show up with a death certificate and they give them the money, whatever in the bank. And it's just that simple.
Well, on my bank account, I do have his name on it.
Okay. Now, what you want him down is a beneficiary. You don't want him down as a signer. And let me tell you why. How old is your son?
He just turned 28 yesterday.
Okay. Now, is your son live with you or in Florida?
No, he lives in Florida, but he's married.
Okay. So he's on your bank account. Is he on it as a signer or as a beneficiary, or do you know?
I honestly don't know.
Okay. You want to double check on that. Let me give you a terrible example. Your son gets sued because he has an accident, and they get a judgment for $1 million. All of his assets are subject to attachment, including your bank account, if his name is on your bank account as a partner, as a signer. If he's on there as a beneficiary or this TOD agreement, that's exempt. He's only there in case you die. So I would be very reluctant to add him to your bank account unless it's a very small amount of money and you don't have to be concerned about it. But the reality is this. I have seen people literally lose their bank accounts and literally lose their home because they added a child to it, and that child got in trouble and was sued in I don't care what state, and they came after their assets, and because the parent added them to the assets, their asset all of a sudden was a part of that child. So, number one, your house is not subject to probate if it's your homestead, and you don't put your child as an owner on that house. You put your child as in your will as a beneficiary. And number two, you go to the bank and make sure it's TODs. And if you have a brokerage account, I'm a stockbroker. If you had a brokerage account, you have the TOD agreement. The only other items you would have would be personal items. And personal items like furniture and who cares what are inconsequential when it comes to our death. The important things.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the bank whether it's a beneficiary or a signer.
Yes, beneficiary or TOD, either one. Transfer on death agreement or a beneficiary agreement, whatever way they phrase it. But if he's a signer, I would take him off of it because if he got sued and you had $5,000 sitting in the bank and he lost, that $5,000 would be gone.
Okay. Okay. Now, he has siblings from my husband's previous marriage, but we don't keep in touch with them. We haven't in years.
Okay.
So, again, am I okay with that as far as the house being probate?
Understand this. Your homestead, this is your home in your name, is not subject to probate.
Okay.
Whoever you want to leave it to, listen, if you feel guilty about leaving it to your son, you leave it to Joe Martek. I'm kidding. But what I'm trying to say, you make it in your will who gets that house. You don't add them to the deed. That can cause another problem because all of a sudden you go back into the lawsuit problem again, and that person could get sued and you could lose your house. See, a homestead that you live in is not subject to attachment by creditors. But let's say you add a child from that lives in Wisconsin or up not in your house and they get sued. Well, not their homestead. And that can cause a problem with your homestead. So what you just don't want to muddy the waters by adding a child to it, except in a will with that.
Okay, so the will.
With
the will is the best way.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Now, listen, I'm not an attorney, but Vince, Alan, you're an attorney. Would you not agree with what I'm saying?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. And we have a guest attorney here, and Vince Rosino, CPA, is sitting here. And
I agree with you 100%, Joe. And in her particular case, just make sure the TOD agreements are in place. She has a will.
Yeah.
And if the homestead is there,
you're done.
I think she's done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, literally.
Again, I'm not a lawyer either, but I've been hanging around enough.
We sure go through this enough, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
we do.
One of life's hard knocks. That understand that. Just you go to the bank and find out, and then your house, as long as it says you've homesteaded it with the county, and it's, that is your homestead, it's exempt.
Okay. Now I have a will written up.
Okay.
But it's one of those wills that you kind of get at Staples and then you have it notarized.
Let me tell you, it's a funny thing you had. We had Greg Fasula, attorney, on our morning show, which is on at 11 o'clock, 1590 a.m. And Alan Love, attorney, was there too. And it was just kind of, we kind of joked about it because I call it the home despot will or trust. Very often those documents might be proper, but they may not be totally legal in the state of Florida. They might comply with Wisconsin or Ohio. I hate to tell you, but I would probably break down and spend the $200-$400 whenever you get in the mood and get something that's a legal Florida document so that when you do decide to die, your son doesn't have to go through more than normal aggravation to try to get things passed.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Well, just off the top of my head, she only has her house and she has a small bank account.
Right.
Transfer of death would probably be the easiest
But on your homestead, because the son, he's the only heir she's got, he would be in line, but then it would still have to go a minor court proceeding.
Right,
If you do the will.
But not through probate.
Not through probate, right. Understand this, that a homestead can pass. It doesn't have to go through probate.
Okay, so a TOD and a will would be the best bet, right?
Good. You gave her Greg's phone number?
I did.
Name and number?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Dave just said good.
That.
Yeah. You can call Greg and just talk to him and just say, hey, Greg, I'm a CNO listener. Joe Martek says you're supposed to charge me half the normal rate, and see what he says.
You can take my clergy discount.
He may not totally agree with you, but bottom line is, Greg, you'll like Greg Fasula very much. Where do you live?
I live in Port St. Lucie.
So Greg's on the corner of Veterans Memorial Parkway and Port St. Lucie Boulevard. So he's centrally located in Port St. Lucie. And you call him and talk to him on the phone. He won't charge you a nickel. But I just think you're doing the right thing if you put that horse in the cart in a proper order.
Okay. Now, you said about the TOD, and other than the signing on the checking account, what happens if I get ill and I can't? I'm not able to sign for my bills or stuff.
What a woman.
Is that TOD?
You are so good.
Cover?
You are so good. You know, that you're. It's like I'm paying you to ask me these questions, because when you talk to Greg, he would do what's called a power of attorney, which says, hey, I'm out to lunch and I can't pay my bills and stuff. My son has power of attorney. He takes that to the bank and he can use your checking account with that power of attorney. Doesn't make him a partner on it or anything, doesn't put liability, but it opens it up. And Greg would also do what's called a health care surrogate, which says you can't make a decision for your own health care because you're out to lunch, but your son can. So he'll do that, the will, the power of attorney, and the health care surrogate, all as part of a normal package.
Okay, that sounds good.
And one thing I want to mention about the health care power of attorney, you do not have to have the same person being the power of attorney and a health care power
of
attorney.
They can be different
people. Like if your son lives far away from Port St. Lucie, you can have your best friend in Port St. Lucie be your health care, because that's very important to have somebody who knows you and can be right there with you when there are health concerns.
You know, one of the problems with the health care surrogate, doctors don't like to save your life without authority and permission. So they're worried about liability, understandably. So that healthcare surrogate, Greg almost always, unless you say I don't want them, would put that as part of the will, power of attorney, and a healthcare surrogate in the package.
Okay. No, well, he's right here in Port St. Lucie anyway, my son.
So. Yeah. Well, that works out good. So now you're allowed to go in a hospital and get sick.
Excuse me?
Little humor there, I would say. Because your son is handy, now you can go in the hospital and you can be out to lunch or something, and it's not a problem because he's there to handle it for you. I'm so happy for you. I know. All right. Listen, we got to have a little humor in life here, so pay attention.
All right. So Greg is in. He's here, right?
Yes.
No, he's not the one going to the Bahamas, right?
No, I'm the one going to the Bahamas. Greg is here, so he's in the office. Becca, he was on the radio show this morning, so you've got his number. You can call him and make an appointment, or talk to him on the phone first, and he'll counsel you on the phone, and then you go in to see him, and he'll prepare things and tell you exactly what it's going to cost.
Okay. Okay, I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Thank
you. 1-888. You know, a lot of people don't understand my humor, Dave. Can you believe that?
You're so dry, Joe.
Joe, let's talk a minute more generically about a fact situation that the caller alluded to.
Go ahead.
Let's say that the lady goes to be with the Lord. And the son gets the house.
Right.
And the son has been sued. When the son is now the owner of the house, can the creditors go after, or I'm sorry, not the house, but the bank account. Can the creditors go after that bank account then because the woman is no longer involved?
Well, you know, it's a good question.
I think that's a legal question. Yeah, do we have any lawyers
that's
in
one
there?
That,
do you know any lawyers, Alan?
Well, that's one that next show we do, and Greg is with us. That would be an interesting question.
You know, what happens is literally, let's say I have a judgment against me and I inherit some money. That's subject to attachment.
I would think that once the title changes to the money, it's your money, it would be attachable. That would seem to be my...
That's my thought, but it would be interesting to verify that with Greg.
Yeah, I agree. Greg
it'd be very interesting to find out. One of the things that happened, because it's her homestead, it can pass to the son, and there's no problem. But if he has judgments against him, and he's now collectible, and it's like getting car insurance after you have a wreck. They're not going to pay. You have to have it before. So I would...
Can't go retroactive?
Well, you'll get a kick out of this. So I'm out on the boat. And on the boat, we have what's called Boat US or CETO. Yeah. And what happens is you pay them $150 a year, and if you run out of gas, they'll bring you gas, or if you need to get towed, they'll tow you. So I listen to this guy call in, and he says, can I get the number for... Boat US. He calls the guy on Boat US and he says, I want to join. Can I give you a credit card over the phone right now?
And by the way, I'm out of gas.
And by the way, I'm out of gas
in the middle of the ocean.
You know, it doesn't quite work that way, you know. But anyway, so the key thing is cart and horse, as I said. Put them in a proper order so that they're there. But her situation is not abnormal. You know, you
very common.
Well, I'm glad that she called to ask that question. It probably helped a lot of people.
Well, there's another thing that comes in too. You know, when people say, I want to add my child to my house, I said, why do you want to do that? Well, when I die, I want them to have it.
Right.
I said, you have a minor problem. The cost basis goes back to when you bought it, and it's no longer a homestead.
I'm surprised you didn't mention that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. This is a tax situation.
Yeah, it's a tax concern.
So let's say I bought my house for $100,000. And 10 years later, I die and it's worth $300,000. Let's just use that number. And in between that 10-year period of time, I added one of my children, or all of them, or who cares, to the deed. Okay, stay with this thought. We're going to talk about that in a minute because this can be a problem. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. It's Amanda. How are you?
Very good, Amanda. Thank you for calling. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. I have a question. The last lady that called about the will and the trust and all that happy stuff, is that something, because you know my background quite well, is that something that I should look into?
Answer is yes.
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 Okay.
How's that for an easy answer, Amanda? It's called yes. What you need is this.
Yes.
You need a will, a power of attorney, and a healthcare surrogate. You need all three. Now, your brother's okay. Your brother's in Kentucky. He can be your all three, but you might add another person as the healthcare surrogate. Alan was sitting here saying that, who somebody that lives across the street or somebody you know and trust that lives nearby that can go to the hospital and say, hey, you know, go ahead and cut her open and save her life or let her go, whatever. The healthcare surrogate has the power to make decisions. Power of attorney, it was like she said, pays your bills, has the power to walk into the bank. The doctor says you're out to lunch and you can't, but somebody's got to make your house payment, your car payment, keep the lights on. You know, you don't want to go into foreclosure because you're in the hospital. So the three documents are a will where you can pass your assets, two, the power of attorney, that somebody can take care of your affairs, and three, the health care, which means take care of me physically when I can't take care of myself.
Yeah, my niece is actually living with me now, going to college, so she would work out pretty good.
She would be a dynamite healthcare surrogate. You're right.
Yeah. Could you either shoot me an email or a text with the guy's number that you were giving that lady?
I'm going to write it.
The lawyer.
Are you at home right now?
No, I'm on my way to work.
Well, then I'm not going to give it to you now because I don't want you to write your... No. But I'll send you...
No, you can't. That's why I said either text me or email me with the info.
We'll text you. I'll text you hopefully before the end of the show and with Greg's phone number, and you can give him a buzz and go from there.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Love listening to you.
Thanks, Amanda. 1-888-221-8990. Amanda lives in Palm Beach County. She listens to the show. She's a WCNO listener, very committed Christian, and she's a client. She became a client, and she's referred other people that have become clients. You know, so it's good.
I have a little comment about the healthcare surrogate. Having spent 6.5 years as a hospice chaplain, and during that period, encountering people that didn't have a local healthcare surrogate. And I will tell you, you read in the Bible about the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't want to go there. If you don't have someone locally who can make decisions about your health when you cannot, that's a serious problem.
Serious problem. Mm-hmm. Serious.
If you can't, you best do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's what, and I'm speaking for Greg, because I know Greg forever, that when he does a will, he would automatically include this as part of the package or a trust to put together the power of attorney, which is another very important document. And oftentimes, like Alan was saying, it's called a power of attorney for your health, but we just call it a healthcare surrogate in Florida. Different states are going to give it different labels. But the bottom line is those three documents, two of the three can be incorporated into one, the healthcare and the power of attorney. Normally, the will stands on its own. But I think under most circumstances, Greg does three separate documents. And like she said, her niece could easily be her health care, and she could also name her as her power of attorney. And if her niece moves to California, she could take her off and put a different power of attorney. You can change this as long as you're alive. And the health care circuit and your will, you can change as long as you're alive. Anyway, a lot of the things, Vince, that we take for granted, obviously if you don't know, you don't know, right?
Well, you know, that's defined as ignorance, Joe, and ignorance is just a lack of knowledge.
You haven't been taught.
You don't know, you don't know. And so this helps people when you can bring some light to the subject.
Let's go back to the subject I was talking about. I buy my house for $100,000, and 20 years later I die or whatever, and it's now worth $300,000. And in the meantime, during that 20-year period of time, I put my kids in as a joint owner. What happens tax-wise when the kids go to sell that house?
Well, if the house...
And they don't live with me.
Well, if you put the kids on the house, then their basis is the same as yours, essentially. Once you add them to the deed, then whatever you paid for that house, that becomes their basis. Now, if...
Now, explain what basis means.
Basis
you're an accountant here, Steve.
Yeah, of course.
Basis is something when you run, you hit the bat.
That's right. You got three bases and home. No, basis is a tax concept, meaning what your tax cost is, and that's the number that's used to derive any gain or loss upon the sale of this tax asset.
So using my example, I paid $100,000, I die, it's now worth $300,000, and...
Well, this first scenario is you add all your children to the deed, right?
Right.
So it's you and everybody else.
Right.
Well, in theory, if you pass, then your little piece of it gets what we call stepped up. Stepped up means it just gets valued at market value right. at the time of death.
But their
their pieces don't, because they're going to assume the same cost basis that you had originally. And worse than that, in theory, depending on the value of the property, you could have a gift tax too, theoretically. And that's a theoretical. But so that's the story. That's why you don't want to put your children on the deed before you pass. Now, let's take the other scenario. You own the house yourself, and you pass, and you make your children beneficiaries of right. the house. But then that whole house gets appraised at, or should brought up to current value. So that means, let's say it was $100,000 you paid for it. You sold it now, it was worth $400,000. Okay, $400,000. So you'd say, wow, you got a $300,000 gain. No. The house would go up in value to the $400,000 at the date of death, whatever the value was. And then the difference between that value and the ultimate sale of that house is the gain that you're taxed on.
Well, let's stop for a second. Let's take $100,000 to $300,000, which is my original. There's $200,000 in profit, and I'm a single person.
Now you're confusing it. You stick with the numbers. It was $400,000, and you paid $100,000 for it.
Okay. So there's a $300,000 profit.
Right.
If I'm a single person, $250,000 can pass to my heirs with no tax.
No, you're confusing two things.
Homestead.
You're confusing two things. Passing the property to your heirs and what you get.
Sell it.
They
sell it on that day for what the value is on the day.
$250,000 is irrelevant to that scenario. $250,000 is only if you're selling your property and you're a single person. You're talking about the gain that's built in.
So when I pass, there's no gain.
No, that when you pass, let's say I said you paid $100,000 for the house, you pass, you leave it to your children. The house gets stepped up or valued for tax purposes at the market at the time of death.
So
let's say that's $400,000. So that becomes your tax cost.
Right.
That's what passes out to the beneficiaries. A house with a tax cost of $400,000.
So let's say
they sell it for $405,000.
Okay.
Well, theoretically, they have a $5,000 gain, as opposed to a $305,000 gain.
So they'd be taxed on that $5,000.
They'd be taxed on only the $5,000.
Got it.
Okay. Now, the $250,000 you're referring to is just your normal taxpayer.
Gotcha.
Bought a house.
Right.
And it appreciated in value.
Right.
So you bought it for $100,000. The same scenario. You bought it for $100,000. Now it's worth $400,000.
And I sell it.
And you sell it.
And I'm all not right,
so
dead
now
yet.
You got a $300,000. And let's say it's only you. You and you're just you because you're single.
Right.
Now you have a what? You have a $300,000 gain.
Right.
Well, the first $250,000 of that $300,000 would be tax free because the law gives you up to that amount without paying any tax.
There you go.
So you would pay tax on $50,000.
But if
now,
I was
if you're
married, I can make more.
If you're married, you can exclude up to $500,000 of gain on the house. So in this scenario, if you bought it for $100,000 and sold it for $400,000, you'd have that $300,000 gain, and all of it would be
exempt
from income.
So literally, what we're trying to say is, be careful about adding a child, period, from a lawsuit, but also it can cause a tax problem to that child or those children.
Down the road.
That can be avoided either with a will and or a trust.
Yep.
Right? Alan, you still over there?
Yes, I am.
Because we got an attorney here, a guest attorney. He's retired, and he was a prosecuting attorney. He didn't do too many estate settlements when you're prosecuting.
No, but what you're saying is right on the mark, though.
You know?
I did take trust and estates courses in law school, but...
but that was 700 years ago.
Pretty close, yes.
650, Joe. But
650, but who's counting, right?
No,
all
but
his notes are on clay tablets.
But the thing is, and of course, at the beginning and end of the show, your disclaimer talks about it, that this is a show, what you really need to do is sit down with a professional who's competent in the field, and then get everything right. All the I's are dotted and T's are crossed.
Number one, Vince and I do not do wills, trusts, hearth kilsters, power of attorneys, none of that stuff. Because we deal with it on a daily basis with people to try to keep them the horse and the cart in the right order, we have a lot of experience with it. So literally, here comes an attorney, and when people talk to me about going to Office Depot and getting a will or a trust and getting it notarized, okay, fine, it might work. But Florida... And you know, I think it's back to these attorneys. It's like every state's going to have a different wrinkle because they can do it.
Well, you know, one misconception that a lot of people have about law school is they think you went to law school, you've got a law degree, they can ask you any legal question on almost any subject. It's not possible,
right,
to know the law like that. Really, the value of law school was not to teach you how to try a case. You don't learn that in law school. The real value of going to law school is learning how to discern what legal issues there are and then knowing how to go research those issues. That is really the thing I learned in law school more than anything else.
And it's so specialized.
Yes.
Even discerning the legal issues sometimes is an issue if you're specialized in that area of the law.
That's why there are specialty attorneys. Like Greg is a trust and estates attorney.
Exactly.
There are corporate attorneys. There are tax attorneys, etc.
You know, it's funny, just to relay the same story. When I graduated from college with an accounting degree, I'd go to parties, family gatherings, and of course, everybody wanted to ask me tax questions.
Of course.
Now, I didn't learn, hardly anything about taxes when I was in college.
You learn how to graduate.
Well, yeah, you did. And really, yeah. Once you graduate, you're right. You learn about where to research things. But even at that, there's such esoteric areas of specialty that you don't get into it until you're in practice.
You know, I don't think, and you and I both, when I look at you and I across the table here, it's almost a daily occurrence where something new happens, and we have to continue to learn. My newest one now is the Department of Labor, DOL requirements.
Yes,
and that's a whole nother can of worms. And I just look at these people that get bored and want to cause grief and aggravation, not only for us, but look for the client. And I look at when they're trying to do, it seems the right thing for people, but boy, oh boy, sometimes it comes back to haunt them.
Plus, you're still learning, Joe. Every year I go for continuing education. Oh, I learn something every year.
We have to take constant continuing education courses. The only thing I like about the continuing education courses, it tells me I'm not fried yet.
That's true.
If you can't pass your continuing education courses, it's time to retire.
Even before that, if you're motivated to take the continuing
gentlemen, it's time for a PNA, phone number alert, 888-221-8990. Please call if you would like to participate in the show.
1-888-221-8990, because we got about 10 or 12 minutes left.
10, at least.
10 at least?
Yeah, more like 11.
Not a few
more
seconds.
Like 11. But who's,
more
like here we go.
But who's counting?
Who's
thank
counting?
You, thank
here
you,
we go.
Thank you, caller.
Yeah, and okay for the PNA. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Good.
Well, the key thing is this. There's a lot of questions that people have, and that's what we're here for. There's no such thing as a bad question. No such thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I love it when we don't know the answer. I really do. Because, after 175 years of working, you think you'd know most of the stuff.
You don't.
But you don't. There's always something new that comes along.
And if it was easy, everybody'd have the answers.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's like Joe. He always calls me up with questions, and he never gives me an easy softball.
Why would I give
it? There are always these esoteric things I got to look up somewhere.
Well, hey, if I don't know it, I figure you must.
Now, it's what Alan said, is there's so many areas that it's changing so quickly. I have to go back and check and make sure the law is still the way it was.
There's another problem that you may have learned it a certain way, but things get modified and they get changed. In fact, let me stay with that subject when I get done with this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I have a question. I have two questions for you. A custodian account.
Go ahead.
Can you give me a little bit of information about between the custodian account and the trust account?
Yeah.
Is there,
Let's talk about a custodian. There's a couple of different kinds. If you have an IRA, an individual retirement account, very often they'll say there's a custodian or a trustee for that account, which is the bank or the stock brokerage firm or somebody is holding that account to make sure it complies with the rules for retirement accounts. So that's one. Two, there can be a UGMA. I love this one. I went through it yesterday and I forgot all about it. Unified Gift to Minors Act, which means you have a minor child who's 14, 11, I don't care how old, and we put money into an investment account, bank account for that child. But because they are not of legal age, you are the trustee or custodian of that account until they become of legal age. So you then can do whatever you want with that money, technically for the benefit of that child. So you can go to the bank and open a savings account, or you can go to a stockbroker like me and open up a brokerage account. There's a lot of different ways you can do this, quote, custodial account. Does that answer it or get close to it?
Yes, that one is. The minor is the one that I'm doing.
There you go. Yes. And I've had grandparents and parents do this quite often for children. And there's also a benefit to that. Let's say you put $100,000, when that's being a lucky kid, into this account, and it earns 20% a year, which is $20,000. That is not a taxable consequence to you, the custodian. It is to the child. So it will not affect your tax rate. It could affect the child's, who doesn't have much of a tax rate because they're not going to have much. So there are benefits to doing the UGMA.
Okay. And then the difference between that and a...
trust?
Trust account, yes.
Normally, a trust account means I'm going to establish this account and I'm putting things into that trust, and those things go to my beneficiaries when I die or whenever it says inside of that trust document. That's a different story. So it's not an operating account for the minor. So let's just give an example. I've got a trust with stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and a house worth $1 million. And I put it all into this trust, and I name Vince Rosino the trustee when I die. In that trust, it says the day I die, Vince now is in charge of it. He will make a new tax ID for that. And it says who gets the money and when they get it and how they get it. And he, as trustee, has to do exactly what it says.
Okay. So is that also protection against someone suing you?
Good question. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Here's one limited protection.
One of the biggest problems is, a lot of people think certain vehicles like corporations or LLCs or trusts can avoid lawsuits. Well, to a point. But very often they're penetrated because if your purpose for opening that thing was strictly to avoid lawsuit potential, oftentimes they're penetrated because you're not General Motors with 8 million shareholders. You're just you all by yourself. So the answer is somewhat. But remember this. Let me give you things that are not subject to attachment. Your homestead, your primary residence, is exempt from attachment by creditors, whether it's in a trust or not, your homestead. But if you have other properties and you put them into a trust, there's a potential for lawsuit, but there's also a potential for some protection. Now, you're into a legal question, and it really depends on your status. And how you have them structured, and if you have other partners or if the corporation has hundreds of members, it gets more complicated.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thank you so much.
I wish there was an easy answer to that last one, but it used to be years ago that people thought that because they do a trust, they were exempt from lawsuits, or do it a corporation, they were exempt from, but they've been penetrated way too much.
It does. It provides another layer that can be overcome, basically. It's just a matter of another barrier to get over, but they can get over it.
You know, when we read the novels where they say, well, we moved the account to Switzerland, then we opened it up to Morocco, and then we opened it up in the Grand Caymans, and they're trying to avoid all this stuff by making it so you can't find it. Well, then all of a sudden the court says, uh-huh, now we're really going to sue them because we know they did that on purpose. You see?
They want to bring that money back.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So literally, the trust is really designed to avoid probate. And you can understand that your homestead is exempt. IRAs are exempt. Annuity contracts are exempt from attachment by creditors. But most other things, I don't care how you have them titled, can be subject to attachment by creditors. But remember the things that are exempt: homestead, IRAs, retirement accounts, your Social Security income is normally exempt, and so are annuities.
There's another.
Okay, I know that I have to go. I wanted to probably ask you about the annuities. In terms of that, what is the purpose of an annuity, and is there a constant fee on a monthly basis to maintain or manage that account?
The answer is maybe. But here's what we're going to do. We're running pretty short on time, but you left your name and number. So what I'm going to do, right? So what I'm going to do is I'll call you tomorrow. Is there a best time to call you?
Anytime it's fine.
Okay, good. I'll call you tomorrow, and you and I will talk on the phone about how it can be structured. And there's different flavors of annuities, And don't let me make it sound that simple, because it's not. But there's, I'm going to talk about three different types. And in fact, we'll do a show probably in a couple weeks on such things. But the reason we have an annuity period, number one, if we don't touch it, it's tax deferred. When we touch it, it's only ordinary income. When we die, it's not subject to probate. And last but not least, it can't be taken away from us if we get sued. So those are the reasons for having it. Now, we have a couple of different types of annuities. One is like a pension, where we can set it up and we put money into it, and now we're going to get a check every month for the rest of our life, just like retiring from General Motors. Another one says it's fixed. Well, they'll pay you an interest rate. And you get an interest rate just like you're going to the bank, and whatever the fees are the insurance makes has nothing to do with your interest rate. Then the third type is a variable, which puts you in the market, but it also has bells and whistles to guarantee you certain things in case the market doesn't do well. So I'm giving you generalities right now, but I'll try to give you more specifics when I talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. That's a good question. 1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time.
Joe?
You know, I did want to add something.
Oh, go ahead, Vince.
Dealing about the trust, you know, there's also non-financial reasons for the trust too, Joe, and that is that you stipulate the trust document operates as after death and of executing your wishes.
Sure.
It's like a will, but it's more contained. It takes all of that asset, all of those monies, and it distributes it according to the way you want it done. And you have a trustee involved that's has a fiduciary
relationship,
and he has to execute, or she has to.
And where Vince is leading to, let's say you don't want the kids to get all the money in one chunk. You want them to get it on a monthly basis for the next 10 years. In that trust, that's what you dictate, and the trustee is in charge of making that happen.
Right. Although that is financial, but there's a structure. An organization that carries out your wishes after you die.
Basically, a trust, when I do an easy one, has all the rights and authorities of a person as long as it has value. When a trust is broke, it's gone.
Right.
We have 1 minute left. I get this guy with silver hair is waving this card at me, and he thought I was ignoring you.
He's a pastor, Joe, too.
Your hair has gotten whiter since I've known you. Have I done this to you?
Well, one of many reasons.
Joe,
multivalent experience. Yeah.
I just want to wish you a wonderful 2-week vacation. You're going to the Bahamas.
You're and lucky,
if,
dog.
If I can just say that I invite our listening audience to join me 2 weeks from today, right at 4:00, for an hour-long program on the transportation system of St. Lucie County. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting.
And next week, you might hear this exact same show over again, because we're going to, what Pastor Davis, he wants to pick the worst show we've got and do it again.
We're going to pick one of the shows soon after creation started, Joe.
There you go.
Yes. Back to
soon after, was that 04?
We're done. 6004.
I think we're saying goodbye, and until next week, thank you so much.
Yes.
All right.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
There is nobody else, no one here on earth, who can take your place and who can match your worth. It's only you, Jesus. It's only you. There's a hole in my heart that only you can fill. And though my eyes may wander, you draw me.
me back, 'cause still it's only you, Jesus. It's only